Well, when I moved to this area to begin planting the fountain, we were blessed to inherit a garden, if you will, in our backyard. It was a small garden, and it was something that I wasn't quite used to. We walked in, and there were these large stalks of healthy corn, cucumbers, tomatoes on the side of the house, and I started thinking I was in my grandmother's house up in Tennessee, because as a city boy, I'm not used to seeing stuff like that. And so it was a really nice thing to inherit this garden. But I have to admit, gardening is not my talent. Out of the different talents and gifts that I have, I definitely know my weaknesses, and gardening is one of those weaknesses. In fact, you probably heard of a green thumb before. Whatever is the opposite of a green thumb, that's the kind of thumb God gave me. And so, in fact, when Mandy and I moved into when we lived in our house before this one, we had this garden, this flower bed outside of our house, and it kind of lined the house. And the whole time we were there, it was empty when we walked in, when we moved into the house. And by the time we left, there was nothing that had grown the entire time, except for maybe a couple weeds that we had to pull out. Gardening is not our thing. And so, as you can imagine, as somebody who has the opposite of a green thumb, when we moved into this house and inherited this beautiful, lush garden, suddenly, as we had the opportunity to tend it, we realized that after about a month, the garden wasn't looking too good anymore. It started to maybe look a little bit less than healthy. And so what started out as this lush, healthy garden became unhealthy. And because the Georgia sun, it was really hot that summer, and the Georgia sun just sapped all the nourishment out of these crops that were so lavishly laid out for us. And suddenly we were left with a brownish-colored, dead set of plants. And so no fruit or no vegetable was going to grow or produce from that. You know, in everything that we do, in all facets of our life, we want to experience growth. We want to experience growth in so many different areas of our life. You think about this when you take your kid to the doctor, when you take your child to the doctor, you want to see your child grow as they're supposed to grow, because if you take them in for a checkup and all of a sudden they've stopped growing for some reason, that's a signal that there's something that's going on that's not healthy inside of them, because healthy things grow. And so it's the same thing with our finances. We want to see our finances grow so that our ability to make a big impact can grow. And if our finances stop to grow, then maybe something's out of balance. We want to see our church grow. We want to see it continue to grow as we have. And Jesus even wants our spiritual lives to grow. But here's what I want to tell you in this series we're starting. Growth is really a result, a symptom, or a product of something that's healthy. Everybody wants to focus on the growth part of it, but so many times, almost all of us want to see growth happen, whether it's organizational or personal or spiritual, but few people are willing to focus on the health that's required in order to see growth actually happen. And so today we're starting a 3-week series that'll go right before Easter, called Healthy Things Grow. And that may seem like a funny, obvious thing. Yes, of course, healthy things grow. We know that. But what I've found is when you kind of think about what that means for your spiritual life, for the church, for everything that you do, oftentimes we get the cart before the horse and we start saying, we want to grow. We want our lives to grow, Jesus. But oftentimes we forget what it takes to actually grow. What produces growth is a healthy thing. And so if our bodies are healthy, it grows. If our spiritual lives are healthy, God makes them grow. Growth is a result of something that's healthy. And so that's what we're talking about today, and just focusing on health so that God can make it grow. And so most of the Bible was written in a time when it was an agrarian society. And so Jesus borrowed examples of farming type stuff all the time. In fact, you may remember In the Old Testament, the promised land that the people were waiting so long to receive. They were in the desert for so long. Where much of that was written, and also where the Gospels were written, was really took place in what's called the Fertile Crescent in the Middle East. And it's called a Fertile Crescent because it kind of looks like this, and it's just this fertile pocket of land where there's rivers and streams and things grow out of it. And it's really obvious in the lives of people in the Middle East, especially in biblical times, they were so dependent, their livelihood was so dependent on the sun and the rain and healthy soil in order to make anything grow, that it was really obvious that the parched desert was not far from where they were. And so they knew the importance of being near healthy land and stuff like that. And so because of stuff like that, Jesus borrowed this example of planting and many other examples of planting. We're going to talk about one of those today. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to John chapter 15? John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. The words are going to be on the screen, but I invite you to turn to your Bible, turn to your Bibles if you have one. And let's stand this morning in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word as we hear Jesus' words talking about farming and how things grow. Jesus says this. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 6. "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, our spiritual growth and our mission as Christians, God's purpose for our life and what God has us on mission to do, is deeply dependent on our communion with Jesus. That's the point Jesus is trying to make here. Everything's dependent on our connection to a living vine. Any kind of fruit that happens in our life, any kind of spiritual growth, oftentimes we want to see us take steps forward, but what it really takes, what it really requires, is our connection to a living vine. And so the disciples would have been very familiar with how vineyards worked. In fact, you may remember in John's gospel that we just read, John chapter 2, the very first miracle the disciples even saw Jesus perform was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And Jesus took some water and turned it into wine. And so they were used to this wine culture and this vineyards and things like that. And so they were used to seeing these. In fact, in the area where the biblical culture was during Jesus' time, the soil and the climate were very suitable for vineyards. And so grapes would be planted on terraced hills with walls protecting the grapes from animals that could come by and could eat them up, because that was important for their livelihood. And so they would let the vines grow up from the ground, and yet when the branches grew up, they would put them on. They would support them with these supports above. And so the vine grows from the ground, and the branches had to be held up. And it was important. These supports were important because the branches couldn't stand up by themselves. They were too weak. They had to be connected to other branches and had to be supported with some type of contraption, kind of like this, to hold them up. And so to keep the branches productive, they also had to be pruned or cut off, for those people who are like me who didn't grow up as farmers. You have to cut the branches or prune the branches so that new growth would happen. And so if a branch wasn't bearing any fruit, if a branch started suddenly not bearing any fruit, there wasn't much use for it. And so you had to cut the part of the cut that branch off that wasn't bearing any fruit, so that suddenly new growth could start to happen. And so this is the imagery Jesus borrows from the culture in order to talk about our spiritual walks with the Lord. And this is a good passage, and something that we can keep going back to, is thinking about what does it mean to be connected to our vine. See, Jesus says our Heavenly Father is the gardener. And God gardens, and God plants, and God continues to take care of us and take care of the garden. And he says that Jesus says that he is the vine. That he's the vine. He's the source. He's a connecting point for all life and joy and anything that grows. Jesus is the source, the catalyst of anything that grows. And he says that we are like the weak branches who are dependent on a true and living vine. We're dependent on our vine to hold us up. We're dependent on our vine, Jesus, to give us nourishment, to pour into our lives. And if we're left all by ourselves, we're too weak to stand. There's so many parallels to our life and what we see with our walk with Christ. When he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what he's talking about. Saying, look, I'll hold you up. I'll connect you. I'll make sure that you've got the nourishment you need. But apart from me, you can't do any of that stuff. You can't bear any fruit unless you're connected to me, the vine. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. He's the power. He's the engine. He's the spark. And so if we're not daily connected to Jesus, if we don't have a continual, one of the words it says is remain in me. Another translation says abide in me. If God wants us to have a continual abiding relationship in Jesus, where we remain or we abide in him daily, and if we don't remain in Jesus, we're like a remote control without batteries. Now, I know that hits our house. We keep finding our remotes don't have any batteries around the house, and you can try as hard as you can to press that button even harder, trying to make it work, and it doesn't turn the TV on. It doesn't turn any of the power on if the batteries aren't in the remote. And it's kind of the same way that we can push ourselves. We can try to man up and we can try to do everything we can to produce fruit, to love people, to have joy in my life. But if we don't have the battery connected in our life, we're not able to do that. We can push as hard as we can, but without the power of God living inside of us, we're just empty vessels who are weak and needing to be held up and supported and the engine of our life poured into us. And so we all have the potential to be used by God, but there's no power coming on if we're not connected. And so branches that aren't connected to the vine can't bear fruit, just like I said. And so in a garden, fruit doesn't appear. I want you to know this. Fruit doesn't appear out of the gardener. It doesn't appear out of the vine. Fruit comes only out of the branches. And so it tells us that God has created us as the branches to be used by God. And as verse 16 later says, I didn't read this. It says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so God's purpose and plan for our life is that we would be used by God, that we would be the branches that bear fruit out into the world, where people look at us and they see Jesus, where people look at us and they see the life of God, the love of God, the joy of God living inside of us, that we bear fruit in our lives. And now Jesus isn't talking about grapes and stuff like that. What he's talking about is the fruits of the Spirit that really Paul talks about in even more detail in Galatians chapter 5. He says that if we belong to Jesus, we'll live a life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these things are things that everybody wants in their life. I want joy in my life. I want love in my life. I want to experience peace. And so these are the things, though, that everybody wants, but all of these are a result of our connection to Jesus. Apart from him, we don't experience that. We might experience taste of it, but it's incomplete. If we're in Jesus and we remain in Jesus, suddenly we can go through some really hard things. We can go through some stuff in our life, and all of a sudden, God's joy can be so complete in us that we can worship in the middle of any situation that we're in. And so when all of a sudden we experience some incredible joy, if we're connected to Jesus, our joy is even more elevated. And so when people see this fruit in us, it's obvious. It's what he says. Fruit becomes an identifying characteristic of our connection to the vine, or our lack of connection to the vine. If we're seeing fruit in our life, it says, hey, we're connected to the vine in some way. And so Jesus says if we obey his commands and we have this type of fruit pouring out in our life, that's what identifies us. And so people see it. People know it. They know something's different about you. I know we've heard several testimonies. I know Todd shared last week about one of the things he had talked about. I don't think we even put it up on the screen, this part. But he was talking about how people notice there's a big difference in my life. People know there's something different about me. And what he's referring to, and what so many others have referred to, is this is the fruit of the Spirit that's coming out. You're loving differently. You have a different kind of peace. You have a different kind of joy. And people start to recognize that and say, there's something different about you. And maybe they don't really know what's going on. Maybe they don't know why. But oftentimes our opportunity that God gives us is to say, look, it's because I'm connected to a source that's so much greater than me, that although I was too weak to hold myself up, I connected my life to the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, and now my joy is complete. And it doesn't mean I don't go through hard times. It doesn't mean that I don't mess up sometimes, but I love like I couldn't love before. I have joy and peace like I couldn't have before. I'm suddenly self-controlled in certain areas where I never could be. And it's all because of my connection to Jesus. And so if we don't have to live out perfectly because God is still shaping us. But if we're not seeing the love and the joy and the peace, patience, kindness, all those fruits of the Spirit, if we're not seeing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, it doesn't work for us to just try harder to live them out. What it means is that we need to look at our connection to the vine. Are we connected to Jesus? Do we have a relationship with Jesus? And maybe if we've accepted Jesus, does it mean that maybe I need to pour more deeply into him and to be more reliant on what God can do in my life? Because anything that's connected to a living, healthy vine grows. It's a natural result of being healthy. Now, God wants us to grow more than anything, but instead of striving for, God, I just want to grow. I want to grow in so many areas. Oftentimes, we try to pull Jesus along when Jesus just says, abide in me. Remain in me. Spend time with me. Let me come into your life and change your life. Let me take care of the growth. You just pursue me and keep your eyes on me, and I'll make things grow. I'll make things grow in your life. I'll make things grow in your church. This is the word Jesus gives us. So I want to let you know, we also have a balanced staff here at the Fountain. I have the very opposite thing of a green thumb. Mike Turner, children's director and operations director, he is an expert. He's an expert in agriculture, and you may not know this, but he spent several years leading a company that was in the commercial tree business. And so he is everything that I'm not in that area. Now, we're not planting any trees right now, but anyway. But one of the things that Mike was telling me the other day, as I was preparing for this message, is, you know, because I'm a dummy in some of the areas of agriculture. He said, "Have you ever thought about holly bushes?" Like, I guess. And he said, "Here's how holly bushes work." He said, "A holly bush, if you've got one in your yard, oftentimes there'll be holes in the holly bush. And if there's a hole in the holly bush, oftentimes people think, just don't mess with it, try to water it, but it doesn't work like that. In fact, I'm the dummy that would try to just leave it alone because I don't know anything about agriculture or planting or farming or anything like that. But Michael said, you know, it's kind of like the vine and branches. He said, a holly bush, if there's a hole in the holly bush, it means that there's something dead in the holly bush that needs to be pruned. The only way for it to grow and to grow healthy and to fill that hole is to start pruning part of the holly bush, because suddenly when you prune the holly bush, it begins to grow, new growth comes out of it in a way that it wouldn't if it wasn't pruned. And so Jesus says this is kind of like our spiritual lives. He equates this to the vine and branches. For those who aren't familiar with vine and branches, the holly bushes are helpful. But in order for us to grow spiritually, or to draw us into more dependency on God, we have to be pruned as well. We have to have our lives pruned and shaped daily into the image of God. Because as my sports coach used to say, you either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. Now, theologically, I don't know where that sits, but I know this, that oftentimes if water just sits and stagnates, it suddenly goes from this fresh expression that gives life to suddenly this corroded-looking, ugly mess. And oftentimes in our spiritual lives, what God doesn't want is for us to just accept Jesus and we're where we want to be. All right, I'm good. And then just remain the same. That's not God's plan and purpose for your life. God wants us to grow. It's a process that John Wesley called sanctification, which means basically growing daily to look more and more and more like Jesus. It doesn't mean that I look less like Andy. It means that I look more like the Andy God created me to be. God starts paring and cutting away the old self. Anything that's in me that isn't the way God intended it for it to be. And if God were to let us just settle for having holes in our lives, we would never be the healthy, happy, and holy people God created us to be. God uses obstacles that we go through oftentimes to prune us, to shape us into the person God wants us to be. And so God has to continually be the gardener in our lives and cut away things that's not of him. And oftentimes it's things like the sins in our life, sins that we've been clinging on to, that maybe there are places where it's been a crutch in our life where we say, God, I don't want to hang on to these. And God has to come in and say, give me control and let me cut this out. And it might be a little bit painful for a second. It might be a little bit painful for a little bit. It might be difficult because you're used to clinging to this, but I don't want you clinging to any other dead vines because those things don't produce any fruit. I want to come and cut and prune things out of your life that are not helpful, that are not life-giving, so that suddenly as I prune those holes in your life, suddenly my new growth comes out in areas that you never imagined. So God does this with our sins. Sometimes God does this with our insecurities, that sometimes we can be insecure about certain things. And God uses certain aspects that we go through to suddenly prune some of the insecurities to make us more dependent on God. God does this with false pride oftentimes, even with religious false pride. That's what the Pharisees had. They thought they had everything figured out. They had their Christian bumper sticker. They had everything going. And God had to work to prune them, to even cut out some of that false pride that keeps them from Him. And even times, God has to prune us and to do that in areas where we cling to ourselves instead of depending on God. You know what those areas are. But God prunes us through things we wouldn't imagine, through trials that we face, through difficult circumstances. It's not that God causes every difficult circumstance, but God can use our difficult circumstances to prune us as a way to shape us, to make us the people God's created us to be. And even God can use times of uncertainty. Times where we know God says to go, and yet we don't know all the details. Or times when we don't seem to be hearing from God as clearly as we want to. God can even use those times to draw us closer to Him and to prune us in areas that we wouldn't grow if God didn't take us through them. And so as His branches, Jesus promises to also take care of us. He promises to take care of us. He promises to tend us and even to take things out of us that weigh us down or keep us from Him. Growing is God's plan for your life. Growing daily in your walk with Jesus is God's plan, but it takes focus and discipline. But as God shapes us, as God prunes us, as God cuts out places in our life that are not fruitful, the good news is that God also grafts us and connects us even more deeply to Him. God doesn't just cut things out and leave us as is, but God cuts areas of our life that are connected to dead vines and reconnects us and grafts us to the true living vine so that suddenly out of those areas we experience abundance and joy and life. So I want you to just imagine how much more God could do in your life, how much more God could do through you to use you if you were even more connected with Jesus. What would that look like if you were even more connected with Jesus? What all might God have in store for you? You know, I want you to know that regardless of who you are and what you've been through, regardless of your gifts and weaknesses, that God can take any kind of weak branch and can suddenly hold you up and can use you in ways that you never imagined. I've experienced that over and over and over in my life, that I never knew all the ways God would use me and all the things that God would do through just simple steps of taking a step forward and trusting in God. And I know God will do the very same thing in you. And so I want to encourage you to take some big steps forward in your faith, to not just sit there as a holly bush with holes in it and then say, well, I'm just good. I'm good the way I am. I want you to know that God loves you just as you are, but God wants you to grow. God doesn't want us to keep drinking milk, but wants us to move on to solid food, as we're going to talk about next week. God wants us to grow, which means there's a lot of ways that God gives us ordinary channels to experience God's grace and to grow. And some of those things John Wesley called the means of grace. Now, these aren't things that are, these aren't the goal in and of themselves. It's kind of like the vine and the branches. It's a way to connect to the vine. But it's things like scripture reading and prayer and worship and serving, taking communion, things like that. You can get really, really legalistic in things like that, but it's also one of those things where God gives you these things as opportunities to connect you more deeply to the vine. He gives us opportunities to connect with Him daily, and oftentimes our job is to remain in Him and to use those means in order to reach out to Him. And so just talk about reading the Bible daily. That may seem like a really easy, obvious thing, reading the Bible in prayer, But so many times what I've learned is some of the easiest things that we know up here oftentimes are the things we need to be reminded of to move us forward in our faith. One of the greatest hindrances in America and in our spiritual lives is not being in the Word. In fact, I think in America, we're some of the most biblically illiterate people. And I'm not saying this, hey, we're all bad or anything like that, but we need to know the Word a little bit better. We need to be in the Word. We need to know what Jesus says, because oftentimes we say we want to know what God's will is. And God has given us His will through the Word. That if we read this Word, it's living, it's active. And as we read this Word, God can come into our life and start revealing things and start moving us forward to take us new steps in the faith. And so if you don't know where to start, just start with the Gospel of John that we're reading today. Just read a chapter a day. In fact, one of the things that I've been talking to Mandy a little bit about is I want to take some time to start teaching how to do more, have a more devotional life. One of the things is, oftentimes what I've learned is, I used to try to read so much scripture, and then I would get burned out. I would try to read so much scripture in a day, and I didn't remember what it had said. Oftentimes, less is more when you read the Word. Oftentimes, when you read it devotionally, instead of just reading it for all the information, you read less verses. And you say through that, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to say here? What does this mean for them, but what does it mean for my life right now? And as you read the scripture daily like that, God starts to do things in your heart and life that when you go to work, all of a sudden your day's a little bit different because you start seeing things in the Word actually happening in your life. Another way that we connect to God is through prayer. And this may seem obvious as well, but did you see what Jesus said in verse 7? Let me reread it for you. He says, If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. I mean, this is crazy. He gives us this incredible key to connect to the source of life, to say, if you pray, I'm happy to answer your requests. I'm happy to answer your requests. But the condition is, if we have an abiding relationship with Jesus. That God is pleased to work in our lives. God is pleased to answer our prayers. But here's the thing. If we abide in Jesus, all of a sudden our prayers start looking more and more and more the way Jesus' prayers would be. We start praying things that are more according to God's will because God starts transforming our heart, and we start praying things that are more kingdom-minded instead of me-minded. You see? And so God is so excited about answering our request. And so this isn't a blank check in prayer, but this is just saying, hey, if you cry out and want to depend on me, I am happy to answer your request. Trust me. You can put your trust in me. So there's a lot of other ways to grow in grace and worship and serving, as I mentioned. But the point is this. God wants us to connect. God wants to connect you to His most holy, most healthy Son, Jesus. So that in your life you can have a healthy spiritual walk, and so that you may be holy as God is holy. That's what God wants for your life more than anything. And this isn't something that a word like this that Jesus gives us is a little bit of a difficult word. It's not something that makes us leave church and say, yeah, let's go change the world. But it's something that through growth in Christ, God can change the world through you. And so I want to encourage you to oftentimes in anything that I go through, I'm at step one and I want to be at step 10. But I oftentimes don't think about what I need to do to get to step 10. First, you have to complete step 1 and then take a step to step 2 and then to step 3. And I want to ask you today, I want to remind you and call you today to abide in your vine, to maybe start at step 1 where you are right now and to take a step forward and to remain in your vine, maybe through daily devotional time, whatever, but to spend time remaining in your vine. And as the band comes up this morning, we're going to do something as we sing. You know, you can worship is one of those amazing things where God can start doing things in your heart and your mind. And I want to invite you that as the band is playing, to ask God, what are some things in my life that you're called that are preventing me from or hindering me from experiencing the life you want? And as you pray those things, as you're worshiping, God is going to reveal some things. And I want to invite you in those times to figuratively lay that at the foot of the cross and to give that to Jesus and say, God, prune me. And I trust you to produce new growth. And so I want to invite you to do that. And I know that God will help you to take some steps forward in your faith. Let me pray for you and then we'll worship together. God, we thank you so much for your word. And God, we thank you that you are our true vine. You're the one who gives all life and all hope and all purpose and all wholeness. And God, we know that everything is dependent on our connection with you. And so God, if there's anybody here that's not connected with you, God, I pray that they wouldn't leave today before talking with me so that they can receive a new vine, not connected to the old vine, but connect to a new vine that can help them to grow and help them to be the person God's created them to be. But God, we all attach ourselves from time to time to dead vines, to things that don't make us whole. And so God, if there's anything in us, if there's any dead vine in us that we've been clinging to in different areas of our life, God, we pray that we would be able to surrender those right now at the foot of the cross. God, we know that your blood that you paid on the cross was not only payment, but it was sufficient to be able to cleanse us, to be able to open up the entry point to receive you. And God, we pray that as we lay those things down that might prevent us from connecting with you, God, we pray that you would pour into us your life and your hope, your purpose and wholeness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and worship.